Welcome to Making Connections, a WMMT series on diversifying our future.
In 1997, seven elk were released in a strategic location within Eastern Kentucky's 16-county elk restoration zone. Since then, the elk have thrived, and Kentucky now has the largest elk herd east of the Mississippi River, with approximately 10,000 animals. Big game hunting is bringing a considerable amount of revenue into the state, but many residents within the elk restoration zone feel the resource could be better harnessed for the benefit of the region's economy. Recently, in Perry County, there was a dinner table discussion of the issue. WMMT's Mimi Pickering attended the event and captured this conversation.
In his 2014 article for the Louisville Courier-Journal, journalist Gary Garth writes, "A Kentucky elk tag is one of the hottest tickets in big game hunting, and those lucky enough to be drawn generally enjoy an excellent experience." He goes on to say, "However, when it comes to playing the elk tag lottery, you might be better off at Churchill Downs." Garth gives voice to an issue that has troubled many across the region since the elk population has grown year after year. Not only are East Kentucky hunters frustrated at the lack of opportunity to get an elk in the bag, but many residents of the elk restoration zone believe elk hunting and elk viewing is an underutilized resource that has the potential to bring in much more money to the region's ailing economy. On December 10th, an unusual assortment of community members came together at the Presbyterian Church in Hazard for a seat at the table, Wild Game Edition, a potluck dinner and discussion focused on promoting elk tourism. Jenny Williams, one of the event organizers, explains.
A seat at the table started out as a Kentucky Arts Council grant, and we had our first one in October, and the idea behind it was that we tend to have the same people doing everything, and we really wanted to give people a literal seat at the table who don't usually have a seat at the table to share their ideas with us and about how we can move Perry County and the region forward. So the idea is that we would all gather together around the table because it's easy to find common ground when we're all sharing food, even when we have really different backgrounds and ideas about where we've come from and where we want to go. And so that's the purpose of these dinners, is to bring people together in a really relaxed, informal atmosphere to share some really good food and to share some really good ideas.
Jill made this amazing, raise your hand when I say your name so I know who you are. Jill made this amazing and beautiful and stunning bread. These rosemary sweet potato stackers are probably not very good, and I don't recommend anyone eat those. I'll just take those home with me.
They're terrible.
And then we've got my new favorite swear, which is, say it for me.
Sweet, cheesy, turkey, bacon, cornbread.
Right, isn't that perfect? Next time you stub your toes, sweet, cheesy, bacon, turkey, cornbread. And then just some regular cornbread. Ellen, I'm not even going to try to pronounce this.
It's butter shoosh and it's heated dumplings.
So these are the dumplings, so you can put these on your plate. And then this is squirrel dumplings, which I'm super excited about.
This is a
about.
Really beautiful part of the country. And a lot of people really enjoy coming here to hunt and to fish. And it could be a pretty significant source of revenue for this area, but it's not for a lot of reasons. There are issues of land access and a lot of reasons that I myself didn't understand, so I was really eager. I and others were eager to talk to people who do understand those issues, who do hunt or who do work with fish and wildlife. And we feel like there is no one answer to what's going to save Eastern Kentucky. There's no one thing that's going to pull us out, but instead we really have to look at this patchwork quilt of different options for people, hunting, fishing, agriculture, entrepreneurship, arts, and so we want all those things to work together, and we think that hunting and ecotourism, which are really two different things but are kind of related, could be a real significant economic force in this region. It is in Western Kentucky, it is in other parts of the country, and we need to understand those issues that keep it from being that now so that we can move towards a place where it can become a way that where we can draw tourists into the region and where people can see it as a source of revenue for landowners and just a way to make this a more desirable area.
Northern Pennsylvania has a much smaller elk herd than Kentucky does, but they do a better job of tourism around the elk. They've tied in with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. Mm-hmm. They have like a big educational center. They've really leveraged their elk herd and brought in a lot of tourism. And it's big business there. I just think it's something in Kentucky that maybe in eastern Kentucky we're missing the boat on here a little bit. I really do. I think there's an opportunity with these elk. It's great to view them. They're interesting. And I think if we could market right to other parts of Kentucky, and you're close to West Virginia here and Tennessee and things like that, you know, I think that that's opportunity for us. I really do.
That was Ken Petula, a Pennsylvania native who currently lives in Perry County and owns businesses there. Bobby Ingaciato, a guest familiar with Pennsylvania elk, responds.
They're out, they have it figured out up there. There's larger tracts of land that are just designated to elk, and you can just go up and take a little trip, and you're pretty much prone to see elk. And the bulls will be bugling and chasing cows and fighting, and I mean, that just brings people in. And yeah, even as a hunter, you love to watch that, and as non-hunters love to watch, it's not just hunters that it brings in.
Right.
And we don't have that here, and I mean, the elk here are really skittish. I mean, for the most part, I mean, you'll get the yard elk that will just sit there and chow down on your grass and tear your flowers up. You don't have an area where the people can just go and look at them and hope to see them. I mean, there's not nothing like that here. And if we got the smoke.
Will Bowling, a farmer in Clay County and elk specialist with the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife, detailed the amount of revenues brought into the state by the yearly Kentucky elk hunt. Bowling also reiterated the group's concern about the lack of an ecotourism component and explained why Kentucky elk herds do not behave as the Pennsylvania elk do.
We're pushing right at $6 million a year in money generated from the elk hunt. Now that's statewide, that's money spent in hotels, gas, going out buying a new gun, a guide, and that's with the economic impact. Just inside the 16 county elk restoration zone, right here around Hazard in these 16 counties, it was right around $2 million in direct, like cash spent. And that ended up being around $3.5 million after the multiplier effect. Again, that's something that's very much tied to having elk hunters coming in. People will come to see elk. They'll come to hunt elk and to try to put an elk in the freezer, but folks will also come to watch an elk and take pictures and listen to them bugle and watch the calves. And that's something that we really lack here in eastern Kentucky right now. A lot of the properties that we have are either the landowner has them open to hunting or the landowner doesn't control hunting, which is de facto leaving them open to hunting, which puts a lot of pressure on the animals and puts them in the timber. They're not out in the open like they would be. And another big part of it is also, honestly, habitat management. And that's something that my program is really starting to look at and hopefully doing more of in the coming years, is taking a more active role in habitat management.
Despite a substantial success rate for both gun and bow hunters in bringing down an antlered elk, and the millions in revenue from the elk hunt, there are still disgruntled Kentuckians who feel the current distribution system for elk tags is not meeting their needs. Bowling, along with others at the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife, have developed a new program to address some of these concerns. Here's Jenny Williams.
He has created with Fish and Wildlife this really unique voucher program that, as far as they know, doesn't exist anywhere else in America, that allows people to let other people come onto their land and hunt, and then the voucher program gives them elk tags, which are really hard to come by and really desirable.
Will Bowling continues.
We have had a program for about the last 10, 15 years where folks could sign over 5,000 acres to public hunting access. For each 5,000 acres, that property owner received one elk tag. And that was great. We picked up quite a bit of hunting access. It's kind of a win-win. Folks got a place to hunt. The landowner received some compensation. The issue we run into in the last several years, however, is a lot of folks in this area wanted a lot of individuals wanted to chance to get an elk tag, but they didn't have 5,000 acres. And we also had some of our partners that we worked with and would like to work with who did own larger amounts of land that weren't comfortable signing that agreement, which was fine. We completely understand that. Several of us were able to sit down and hash some things out, different options, and what we came up with was a new program, rolled it out this spring. It's called the Voucher Cooperator Program. Any landowner in the state of Kentucky that owns at least 100 acres, there's no agreement. You don't have to say, I will do this. And it's completely up to the landowner to set how many elk tags they want hunting on their property. The thing that makes it unique in kind of the wildlife world is we tied the compensation to harvested elk. When that landowner gets 20 points, and that comes from a harvested elk, so a cow elk counts for 1 point and a bull elk counts for 2 points, that landowner gets a fully transferable tag. The points roll over, so if they get a mile in 1 year, they get a tag for the following season. If it takes them 10 years, then it takes them 10 years, but at the end of that 10 years, they'll get an elk tag. The landowner is also allowed to set how many folks come on the property. And again, for us as an agency, we see it as trying to serve the needs of our constituents, the hunters, and also providing another opportunity for folks in this area to get an elk tag.
Answers may not be immediate, but as discussions like this illustrate, the beginning is often in recognizing the resources waiting to be employed for the community. Bowling recognizes how far the region has come in its ability to use wildlife to the advantage of all.
My family's been here since way back when. I was born and raised just 30, 40 miles down the road. And I mean, to me, to be sitting here today talking about elk, I mean, that's pretty amazing. I remember what it was like. I'm 32 years old, and I remember when I was growing up, we had to go to Western Kentucky to go deer hunting. I was 15 years old before I saw my first turkey track over in Leslie County, where I'm from. I mean, to look at it now, we have an abundance of deer, turkey, river otters, black bear, elk. I mean, it's pretty amazing where we have come in the wildlife realm in the last 20 to 25 years. So it's great to be sitting around with you all and having a discussion about what can be. This is our time to come together and start working for a better tomorrow in that regard.
Here in eastern Kentucky, elk roam the hills, deer make delicate trails, rabbits crouch in high grass. We hunt to put meat on the table, we hunt to honor our traditions. And any day we go into the mountains and see animals is a good day. So thanks for coming, and please keep talking, don't stop. Get some delicious dessert.
This is Mimi Pickering reporting for WMMT.
Making Connections is brought to you by WMMT, Mountain Community Radio. Find out more at makingconnectionsnews.org.